Yeah, this topic here. Says the Gemara, the last few lines of the page, which we went before, we're going to see now with Rashi, and first had problems and then clarified the issue. So the Gemara says, last few lines of Daf Gimel Talif, he says, Ella, maybe Rapapa, what's the case of a tolt of a bar? We're trying to find a tolt of a bar, non av malocha of a bar, we're trying to find a tolt of a bar. So where is a tolt of a bar? So last few lines of Gimel Talif, he says, Avinu Tzekina Masoi Shenicha B'Shesram. You know what's a tolda? It's not written in the Torah. It's a tolda of a bar. It's talking about a stone, a knife, or some sort of package which you illegally left inside of a Shus Rabbim. It's a very dangerous public area to leave things around there. Bezikun, it causes damage to people. The bottom of Gimel Zalaf. Now, Heichi Domi. What's the status of this stone and this knife at the time of damage? Eid Afkarinu, if we're talking about he gave up ownership over it, he no longer owns the knife or the stone, then Bain the Rav, Bain the Shmuel, Haim the Bar. That is in the category of Bar. Then understand the stone is in the category of Bar. So it says, Rashi, what does it mean, Bein Rav, Bein Shmuel? What's this Rav, what's this Shmuel? So it says, the Rashi, the bottom, it says that, Avina Sakina Shenicha B'Shus Rabbim, the first white line over there at the bottom, V'Nisko Bahem, he left it in a dangerous place, people tripped up on them, but they Otam, V'Ziku Lahem. You trip them up and they cause got damage through them. So Ezekiel Lahem, so exactly what happens, it sounds like they're walking along, according to Rashi, and the people tripped on them. Ezekiel Lahem, that the item itself damaged them. Not that they tripped up on the item and they fell onto the ground, and the ground hurt them. How did they get hurt? They tripped on the item, and the item themselves, they fell on, and the falling on the item itself damaged them. But it says Ezekiel Lahem not just tripped them up, it actually damaged them. Why does Rashi have to say that? Why the simple quest, it would be simple to say that tripped them up, and then they fell on the grounds, and the grounds, when they fell, injured them. Not the actual item, actually just caused them to get injured. Rashi sounds as sins to say that the item itself was what damaged them. Why is Rashi saying that? So if you look at Tosus, the bottom Tosus, he explains the whole why Rashi is saying this. He says, Bein the Rav, Bein the Shmuel, Hai the Bar. In turn, he's got a question. Harav Islay le Kamon, later on is a discussion in the Gemara and Daf Nun on the base. There's discussion. The bottom Tosis over here with it by us is bring that Gemara. That the, later on is discussion between Rav and Shmuel. Why are you hired? Why is the owner hired to damage his whole debt? Is it because the person dug a hole and made the land dangerous? And therefore the land is considered connected to the person who dug it, because he made the land now be dangerous, because he made the land much deeper, and now the person falls and he hurts himself on the land at the bottom of the hole. And that land of the hole is only because of the person who dug it, is only there because of him. So therefore, when it causes damage, he is the cause of that damage, because he created that land. That's Shmuel's opinion. But Rav said that land was always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the land. He didn't make the land. And the land is what damaged them. So why, says Rav, when you dig a hole, he made a hole, but what damaged the person at the end is not something he owns, not something that he created either, because that land was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why, says Rav, are you hired for damages when a person falls in a hole? He's dug. You can say he's groma, but what actually damaged him was not, is not what he owns, because it was just a rabbin, and it's not what he created, because Hashem created it. So Rav says, yes, you're right, you only hired because of the heaven, because of the air, the stuffy air, the choking air, which that hole contains, that you're chayav, because that you did create. Because beforehand, Hashem created land, and the land was always there, correct? And you did do anything to land. But when you dug a hole, you actually did something new. What did you make something new? You made something which wasn't there before. Stuffy air. There was no air before. It was all full of land. Now you made something called stuffy air. So therefore, it is related to you, and that your chayav says Rav, not because of the land, it's because of the stuffiness which kills you. You know what kills you? It's not the land that kills you, it's the fact that it's got very stuffy and choky, which actually killed you, according to Rav. But you're not chayav for the actual land that kills you. That's why Rav says, Rav, you can't get... So therefore, it says, I've got a real problem. So how can you say, when you put a stone down in the streets, and somebody comes along and trips over the stone you put down, now he gets damaged. What damaged him? When he trips on the stone, what damaged him? Where did he land? And actually gives him the boo-boo, as they say. What gives him the boo-boo? The stone gave him the boo-boo? Normal case. What's the case? Trips on the Latin stone, and where did he land? Little stone, where he lands, man. On the land, he lands on the land, boom! The land actually gave him the damage. Rav never holds that you're hired for land giving you damage, because land is not yours, Hashem created the land. You only get that kind of stuffiness. Now, is there any stuffiness over here? When you land on the land, when it says a stone on the flat surface, it's a stone, it lands on land, is there any stuffiness? There's no stuffiness. So it should be water. So it should be water. You should report her. That's Joseph's question. For Rav, you never hired the land because the land was always there. You didn't create the land, you didn't make the land. So therefore you never hired. You only hired on something that you created. You created stuffiness. There's no stuffiness over here. This is a stone I'm putting on the land. So, what suffocation means? Suffocation makes it that he now is weak, and the weakness now means when he hits the land, the stuffiness really kills him off. Because the hit made it possible for the stuffiness to kill him. If he had the open air, he would be killed. It's only because it's stuffiness that he gets killed. The obstacle is causing the vegetable damage, but it's not actually the damage. It says groma, yeah, I'm telling you that's groma. It has to be a direct damage of something of either me, or direct damage of my money, or something that I created. But says Rav, it's not you, it's not yours, because it's a Rishus and Rabin, and it's not you created, Hashem created the land. What you can get them for is something you call creating a pebble, stuffiness. There's no stuffiness on a bit of a stone on a piece of land. That's Tosha's question. So how can the Gemara over here say, he puts stone down, he chips over the stone, even Rav agrees it's wrong. Rav will say you're potter. That's Tosha's question. So what does Tosha answer? Yeshloma, the horse was from the Kaka Olam Hiskiso. Yeah, over there, he fell into the hole, and what damaged him was the actual landing in the on the ground. The ground gave him a big vent, yeah, he landed on the land, so the land actually causes damage, therefore you have to come up with the stuffiness. There you need stuffiness, because what caused him the damage was the land. Of a hocha, but in our case with the stone, chabotah de dehavi, he landed not on the land, he landed on the stone itself. He landed on the stone itself. He landed on the knife itself. And the stone is something you put there, which wasn't there before. So therefore, Rav would agree, since the damage came from something you put, which wasn't there before, called the stone, called the knife, called the package. So then you're going to be chayav over him. So we have to be talking about a case where he got tripped up by the stone. He not fell on the ground. He got tripped up the stone and fell on the stone. That's the case we're talking about. And the chaya, that's what Rashi meant. When Rashi says, go back to Rashi, the nisko behem, he got tripped up by the stone. Not only got stripped up by the stone, the Ezekiel behem, he got damaged by the stone. He actually got damaged by them. That's a chaya. Rashi, in those two words, is trying to say what Tosfos says. We'll see, maybe on Thursday, when we have our next shir, whether we can say another pshat Rashi. That's definitely Tosfos. The third Rashi is saying the thing. So let's carry on. Says Rashi, next Rashi, Afgarenu. That he made it Hefgar, he no longer owns this stone, this knife. Shefir Menosim v'Shushaban, he made it Hefgar, and then he puts it in Rishusarapim, it's not his. Then Rav says it's Baal. Bein the Rav, bein the Shmuel. It doesn't matter who you are. Pligi Perek Nech Nekat. That they had this argument over there. Chai Nebar. In this case, they agree this is Baal. Since there's no ownership here, you just created it. Chavai, Omi, both of them say, Kol Tzakola, any dangerous thing which you created, Shehivka, which you no longer own, Naftalon Abar, is under the category of bar where you are responsible. Zachayv. Why? Ki heichi the bar. Just like a classic bar, which is written in the Torah. Bechir b'rishus rabimi is when somebody digs a hole in rishus rabim. Zahavi pefka. Obviously, if you dig a hole in rishus rabim, the hole in rishus rabim, who does it belong to after you dug it? You dug a hole in rishus rabim without permission. Just dug a hole. Who owns the hole? It's not his. It's not his ownership. So therefore, the classic bar in Rishus HaRabim is a dangerous thing which you created, which you don't own. So I'm a common veteran of the bar. Shah iska kriya psicha bolo. So why are you hired if you don't own it? Up to now, we said you're hired for damage of items caused by things which you own. Your ox you own. Yeah? That's what we're discussing up to now. Now we're saying, here, even though you don't own it, but since you created it, therefore that's what the chiyuv of bar comes for. So any time you put something dangerous in a place where it can cause danger, even if you don't own it, but you made it dangerous, that is the definition of bar, where you're going to be chayav, the kulam. So Rashi is pointing out to us, that part of the makeup of bar, at least according to Rav, the same as small grace, according to Rav, the makeup of bar, the characteristic of bar, is a damage which you're getting liable for, not because you own it, but because you created it. You created a dangerous thing which will cause damage. That is part of the characteristic of bar, because that's the classic one which is written in the Torah, where you don't own it, you just created it. That's part and parcel of bar. Yes, Mr. Okay, we'll get to the complicated cases where it's somebody else's money and it's not yours, but you created it. Okay, here we're talking about a case where no one owns it, but you created it. That's the classic example of bar, where you're in the category of bar. That's why it's not a chura, why it's not in the category of shah. So according to Rav, it seems to be, says Rashi, the difference between bar and a mazik of shah. Number one difference is bar is you're being held responsible for creating, not because you own it. As shah, you're held responsible because you own it. It's something you own that damages. Now the Gemara carries on. If you go over the page, yeah. That's even though, because you created it, we relate it to you. Then go on, carries on. Ifilu akuna. What happens? You put down your stone and you maintain the ownership over it. You did maintain ownership. You didn't. You still own it. It still belongs to you at the time of damage. So the Gemara says, either Shmuel, Dolam Kula Mibar, the Madnu Hainabar, Shmuel makes no difference. He says, this is also under the category of Bar, even though you own it, it's still called a Bar. So here we see that Shmuel obviously doesn't hold the difference, the only difference, or intrinsic difference is the fact that you don't own it, you just create it. Here he says, even if you create it, and you still own it, it's still Bar. The fact that you own it doesn't take it out of being Bar. You can own it and still be Bar for the fact that you created it. That's it. Created it and ownership still makes it a Bar. So we have to discover, according to Shmuel, so what's the difference between Bar and the Shah? Shah, you own. That your ox, your own, causes damage. Bar, small holes, you can also own, and it causes damage. So what's the difference between the two, according to Shmuel? According to Shmuel, what's the difference between Bar and Shah? Now, if you go to the Mishnah, you go back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we can immediately answer that, where the Mishnah says, what is Bar different to everything else? What is something, a characteristic of Bar, which nothing else has? The Mishnah states on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah and the second, it says, it's not like Hari Bar. None of these in the Mishnah, of Shah, of the Mamazik, or Eish, they're not like Bar at all. She'ein Daka Le'elef Tahatik, because Bar doesn't move. Bar does not move. It doesn't move to cause damage. An ox moves and causes damages. An odom moves and causes damages. Fire moves and causes damages. Bar is the one thing that stays where it was, never moves, and causes damages. How does it cause damage? The person comes to the bar and gets damaged. That is an intrinsic difference between Bar and the other three categories. So therefore, Shmuel saying that is what makes it a Bar. And I don't care whether you own that bar or don't own the bar, it's still its own category, because what makes a bar is the fact that it's not a moving mazik, it's a stationary, a passive mazik. A passive mazik is what is called a bar in the eyes of Shmuel, because that's what it says in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara Vayta by us, by Gemara and Ves. What about Rav? What's the characteristic of according to Rav that makes a bar? Says Ila Rav, according to Rav, if you still maintain ownership over the stone, Kula Mishala Madnu, no, now it's no longer bar. Says Rav, if you own the stone, even if it's not moving, it's called a shah, because you own it. As soon as you own it, it's no longer bar. Intrinsic definition of Bar, according to Rav, means you don't own it. You just created it. If you own it, it can't be a Bar. Hayu Shah, it's a Shah. Okay? Which means he's arguing on two facets. He's first saying, I can put it into Shah, even if it's passive. A Shah is active, nothing. Bar is a passive. Says Rav, I don't care, it can be passive, it can be active, that can be active, it can be still in the same category. Also, even one's passive, one's active. That argues with Shmuel. Shmuel says, that what makes the difference? Second reason, the thing he argues, he says, Rav says, what makes it a bar, not a star, is the fact you don't own it. It's not yours, you just created it, you just made it dangerous. That's what makes it into a bar. The Shmuel argues on that. So I said, I don't need that. So I don't care whether my main thing is whether it's passive or active. Rav says, my main thing is whether you own it or you don't own it. So that's what the machlokes is going on here. We go, yeah, we're going to learn what's the source of this machlokes. Yeah, we'll get there. Then the Gemara says a statement. Hanushah, after I told you all this, So I want to know, is the Tolda of Bar, which I just told you is this stone case, this stone case is a Tolda of Bar, is that not the same thing as the other bar in the Torah? Or is it different, and that's what Rav Papa is talking about, that you're going to be potter, and that's what Rav Papa is talking about. So he says, bar, maishma bar, shechein tzichilos ha'osin ha'netek. The classic bar is that you put it down, it's created in order to cause damage. Its whole existence of the bar is to cause the damage. You dig a hole, that means from the beginning of creation, it's there to damage. That's what the classic bar is. Mocha, it's yours. Usmiras alecha, and you have to look after it. Haninami, that's the classic bar. So Haninami, we're also, by the Tolda bar of the stone, Tzichilos olenezek, it's designed to cause damage, that's because you put it in a dangerous place. Mocha, it's yours. Shmiras alecha, and you have to look after it. Okay? One question, is that it keeps saying over here of classic bar, it's mamocha, it's yours. What do you mean? We just said, according to Rav, that it can't be yours, because as soon as it's yours, it's not bar, it's shop. If it's yours, it's shop. So how can the Gemara say classic bar on the Torah is it's mamocha, it's yours, it's under your ownership? Rav says, that's gufa, what means it's not bar. And it's not really better going to Shmuel, because what's the classic case in the Torah? What's the case in the Torah talking about? If you look at the pasuk over there, where did he dig the hole? This is Rav, is it his? No, so the classic case in the Torah, even according to Shmuel, what's written there is a hole which is not yours. So how keep the Gemara keep quoting that part of the definition, characteristics of a bar is it's yours. How's it yours? It's not yours. Classic bar is not yours, and rather it can't be yours. Okay, so Tosfos asked the question. Look at the second Tosfos on the page. Mamocha. Says Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page on Gimon Base. Love Dafka. When it says it's your money, it doesn't really mean that. Gabi bar to love Bamonu, because by bar it's not yours. V'chein, really, Gabi Ace also. She's a, in Hidlik, Gidishotaber, by fire as well, if you like somebody else's haystack. Of course, Shah, you're still going to be chayav. So when we say it's yours, in respect to bar, and ace, when you'll get there, we'll discuss it. But by bar, when you say it's yours, it doesn't mean it's yours. Forget it. If it's yours, it's not the classic case. So what does it mean? Rav Tosfos doesn't tell us. Tosfos doesn't mean, he's saying, it doesn't mean yours. So what does it mean? So the chur, what he means, is what Rashi keeps stressing. At the bottom of the previous page, what did Rashi say is what is the reason why you're chayev? The last line of the Gimel Adav, Rashi says, in the middle of the last line, Sha'iske kriya of psicha balo. The reason why there's a claim against you is because you're the one who dug it or opens it up. So therefore, it's called the mercha, not because it monetary belongs to you. It's the mercha is because you're the one who made it exist. And that's what Mamocha means. Mamocha means you're the creator over here. You're the creator. Okay, so that answers that. Now, let us see. I gave you out the papers this time and last time. I'm going to share a screen. The kasha of the Bnei Yeshua. A very fundamental kasha. I'm going to share a screen. Yosef. So look at the kasha of the Bnei Yeshua. So the Bnei Yeshua has a kasha. Says, Khan, first question he says, one aleph. Khan, ba'avdei sakino masoy. This case of the stone. Heich sach lahatzos haimushah. How can Rav say a stone is a shah? How can Rav say if you own the stone, then the damage it causes is because of the category of Shah? How can you say that? Why? Keep it aim to understand. Firstly, a stone, does a stone have any kavana? Can a stone think? Can't think. So you can't say the stone had kavana to damage. So it can't be Karen. Yeah, we've got three shahs. We've got Karen, Shem, Regal. So a stone can't be the shah of Karen, because the definition of Karen, he had kavana to cause damage. A stone doesn't have any brains. Okay? V'ein hanah lezeker. The stone can't get hanah. That's a damage, because he has no essence. He has no living. He's not like a shah that can eat things and enjoy it. So therefore, he can't be shame. Part of shame is you're damaging to get a law. The stone is not damaging to get a law because he can't have a law. The ain has taken lots of, and you can't possibly say this is a normal daily routine of the stone to walk around and cause damage. It can't walk. It can't decide where to go. It's got nothing to do with leather. So what do you mean it's shah? Which shah do you mean? It's not Karen. It's not Shane. It's not Regal. How can you say a stone which you own is called Shah? None of the Shahs fit with the stone. Lo Domin the Karen. Lo Domin the Regal. Lo Domin the Shane. The Gam on top of it, Evo Ruchayim. If you look at the Mishnah, the first Mishnah says, what's the difference between a Shah and a Bar? He says, well, a Shah has life to it. Well, this doesn't have life. It doesn't have life. So how can Rav call this a shah? So that's his first question on the Gemara over here. How can Rav call a stone which you own is in the category of shah? It doesn't fit in any of the criteria of shah. Yes, Martin.
When you talk about all these
criteria, that's not how we define the categories over there. Right? Are we looking at the one that caused the damage? And we're deciding. We're talking about. Why don't you say, forget about what the star did, just think about the owner of the star, what he wanted the star to do. Yeah. We don't say what the owner of the star, what he's thinking and what he wants. We always look at the star itself that's causing the damage to define what it is. And then we relate it back to the owner. Fine, but we relate it back to the owner because he is the stone. Whatever the stone decided to do, it's him doing. Or he's liable for what the ox did. He's the ox. Or he's reliable for what the ox did because he should have looked after it. But at the end of the day, the damager is the ox. And you have to define what the ox is doing. And the kavana, hana, common is all going in the ox. And then we can connect it to the guy who pays because either he didn't look after it or he is what his money is. Okay, but that's what you said. But here, the stone is none of these. That's his first question. Second question of the Pleishon, Hasugya Kantamur, the way it's structured, the Gemara, doesn't make sense. The structure of the Gemara doesn't make sense. Why? Shuhisik B'divrei Rav, it finishes with the words of Rav. You know that if you own a stone, then it's not a bar, it's a shah. It finishes with that. V'choyze Lahatshes, and then says, told to the bar, which is a stone, it's got the same din as the Abba bar. Hold on. You just finish off by talking about a case which is not a Tolzo bar. You're talking about, according to Rav, you own the stone, it's nothing to do with bar, it's shah. Okay? Then suddenly you say after, and therefore this case is of Tolzo the bar, which we just discussed, it's got the same din as Abba. But you say that statement in the wrong place. You just mentioned something which has nothing to do with bar. You should say that only with the cases which are bar, which is the case of a stone which you don't own, which Egon agrees, or say a case of the stone which you own, which Shmuel holds the bar. But to talk at the last point, a stone which you own, the point of Rav, is not a bar, it's a shah, and then say, and therefore, told is a bar, has got a bit of bar, it's not therefore. You just left off with something which is not a told of bar. The Quran sounds like it's a therefore. Why are you putting it over here? That's his question. Two brilliant fundamental Pashtak questions. So for the rest of the shir, we're just going to see his answer and understand his answer. So firstly, if you look at Tosfos, in order to understand which Shah is, if you look at the first Tosfos on the page, from Gimel on our base, Tosfos tells us which Shah it is. Which Shah of the three does it fit into? Says Tosfos' first words, Shah, Rav says a stone which you own is a Shah. Hainu, which Shah? Keren. It means the Shah of Keren. Why that one out of the three? To shame the regal, paturim rushas rabim. Because if it would be shame or regal, Shah, then we know there's a halacha, a damage which is done by consumption or by regular activity of the ox. The owner's not liable if it takes place in Rishus Rabban. It's a gazeris of God, so we'll learn it later. Just you're not liable if it takes place in Rishus Rabban. We'll see what the reasoning is. You're just not reliable. The only shah that the owner's chayv for the damage it causes is a shah which damages through Karen. Then he's chayv in Rishus Rabban. Clear? Where do you put this bar? You put it in Rishus Rabban. So obviously, if the bar is chayv to pay, even when you own it, because of Shah, the only Shah that it can be is a Shah of Keren, because the other two you wouldn't be chayv. Okay, so Tosin at least told us which one it means. We don't know why it's Keren, because one of the characteristics of Keren is that the ox has intention to damage, and that's the player's discretion. It can't have intention, it has no brain at all, the stone. But at least we know which one it is, and we can focus on and how it can be. Okay. So Tosfos says, basically Tosfos asks the Kleishu's question, if you carry on, go to the third line. I want to miss out the second line, so it won't confuse you. The third line, which says, in Toma, he asks the question, Hei chi gom on the shop, how can Rav learn out that the stone is a shah? How can he learn out it's a shah? Meaning Karen. You know, a regular shah is an animal. He has intention to damage. Yeah, that's a regular thing. So how can you say the stone is a shah? Which is basically Pleishu's question. How can you say it? That's Pleishu's. Okay, so very good. Now we've got Pleishu's question. We'll see what the Tosfos answers. Tosfos is going to help us answer the question. The Vash Rashbam. So the Rashbam answers it. To osi mubar v'shah, that you're learning that you're obligated to pay what he means. Shah, he means a combination. He means you combine bar, that tells me somebody puts a classic bar down his hive, according to Rav, that means you don't own it, and your hive. And you put it together with your shah, with the ox scoring at your hive. You put the two together and you create this mixed breeds. A mixed breed which is called the stone which is owned. Stone which owns has properties of bar in it, because it's passive and you created it, and it has properties of shah in it because you own it. And since it has part of that and part of that, together they create a partnership and make you hive to pay. So it's not like a shah. It's not like a bar. It's half like a shah. It's half like a bar. Yeah? Together, they make a marriage and make you chayv. Okay? That's all we need to see from Tosfos. Now we have to understand, how does that work? How does that work? Didn't we learn a fundamental thing on our first shir, that in order to be chayv, for the owner to pay, it has to fit in one of the categories. It has to be one of them. To be one of the categories, it has to be a tolza comparable to one of them, totally in all its aspects. If it's not totally comparable in all its aspects, then it's not one of them. If it's not one of them, then it's not written in the Torah. If it's not written in the Torah, you're not going to be chayev. That's what we learned in our first year. You're only chayev if it's in the Torah. It's only in the Torah if it's totally comparable to one of them. Now, you brought me a case called a stone, which is owned. It's not comparable to shah, has no brains. It's not comparable to bar, because you own it. So it's not comparable to bar, it's not comparable to shah, it's half comparable to bar, it's half comparable to shah. So therefore, what should be the din? It should be totally, it should be potter, because it's not one of the others. To be one of the others, it has to be totally comparable. And this is half comparable to this, half comparable to this. You can't patch them together. You have to have total comparison. So that is a big question on what does he mean by his answer. So let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says the following. Ularav, the second line of the Rashi on the page ends, it says Larav. Larav da Omer. A Rav who says, Kol tokola shlo hifkiru mishol amadno. Anything dangerous you put down, which you still own, it's learnt out from Shah, that's why you hide. Why? Ma Shah Shahum Mamona. Because Shah is something you own. Vim Hizik Chayez, something you own. It causes damage, then you have to pay. Af Kol Mamona, so we learn from there, anything that you own, in Hizik Chayez, if what you own damages, you're going to be Chayez. Okay? What about Tosfos and Pesach's question? You own it, but it has no kavana to damage. So why is it sharp? So Rashi has not answered that. Rashi says, it's sharp because you own it. So, now you own it, and it's damaging, your money is damaging, it's sharp. They can't be. That was the question of Tosfos and Pesach. So let's see the next Rashi. Hainu sharp, it's sharp. The lab told it to bomb. Rashi says, it can't be a tolda to bar. Ninu. Because you own it. Once you own it, it can't be a bar. B'shah amrina le'el. And once you tell me it's a shah, we said above. Once you told me it's in the category of shah, we said above. Tolda the shah ki shah. If it's a shah, if it's a tolda of shah, it's got the same thing as the av of shah. So therefore, it's not going to be potter, because once it's a tolda of a shah, we already said in the previous page, all toldas of shahs are the same thing as the other shah. You're telling me this stone is a tolda of a shah, because you own it? So it's not the same thing as the other shah, you're chayav. Vafilu shmol nami, da'oma tolda the bar ninu, and even shmol holds that it's not a shah, but it's a bar. Ma chazis look like milzer apopa, tolda the bar. You can't say you're potter because this is the tolda bar which is going to be potter. It's not going to be like ma'av. Because my shah bar, it has all the properties of bar, the chayiv. That makes it chayiv. So then to kill us, I'll see in the hezik. Because it's designed from the beginning to cause damage. So hani nami, to kill us on a siyasam. To kill us, mashanes, a bar. From the beginning, you designed this bar to create problem. Shanuch al-Sham, owns in the Nezek, you designed it to cause damage. So Rashi has not really helped us understand, he's avoided the question. And Tosfos addressed the question, answered it, we got a bit of a question on his answer. Rashi didn't even relate to it as a question. He said, it's a Shah, no problem, it's a fault of the Shah. Told the Shah's got the same thing as a Shah. Doesn't relate to the question. So what's going on over here? So if we go back to the place here, we'll see his answer. A very important yisod in what he's machadish does. If you go to two aleph and base, it says like this: Negifa zinishita. We know on daf based on the base, we know if the ox he bites. We say it's a tolda of Karen. That's what we said. The biting ox is a tolda of Karen. In love to come to Domele Karen, we said, only because it was totally comparable to Karen, Shekabon is lazik, because when it bites, it has intention to damage. then we said it's a tolls of the camp. Only because it has the properties of the ab totally with kavana to damage that made biting a tolls of the camp. Lo mot sinishum mila, if you wouldn't have found it, ein hanona zikum, kumar shem, vein hazeka mot zikum rankle, vein asina nezikum oba. So we said, well, biting is definitely a tolder to Karen because it has kavanah to damage. It doesn't have anything else that compares it to anything else. It doesn't have halah. You can't compare it to shame. It can't have, it's not common for biting, so it can't be regal. It's not designed from birth to be a damager, this ox, so it's not a bar. So therefore, it has one property. When it bites, it has potential to damage, therefore it's totally comparable only to Karen, and that's why it's told to the Karen. Therefore, the aim of the moment, since it can't, it's not comparable to anything. You wouldn't be able to machai of biting unless it has kavanah lahazik. Since it has no other comparisons there to any other others, the only ob it has a comparison to is Karen, called kavanah to damage. It would have to be completely comparable to Karen to make it chayav, and it is. And that's why it's chayav. Because nothing else can make it chayav, because it has no properties that can make it chayav. The only thing that can make it chayav biting is Karen, and then we want to check, does it have all the properties? We say, yes, it has all the properties, now it's chayav. But Hofla, if you look at two base, here we're talking about a stone which you own. Since we know you must be chayav, Mishah Umibar, by learning out from a combination of Shah and Bar, like Tosis says, you got Shah that makes you chayav, Bar makes you chayav. This has properties of that, the stone has properties of both, so both. If it has problems both, then it's going to be chayiv. Chazer is lemenkomo, and therefore once you're chayiv, I now have to decide which category it is, and I say it's haynushah. Shishava lo yosra rav, because it's similar to, in the eyes of rav, to shah, more than it is to bar. Now, let me, those are the words of Peshah. Let me finish explaining what Peshah is, and then we'll finish it. Maybe I'll go 3 minutes over time. It won't be no rap to go through at the same time, just to get what clear the answer is from Peshah. What's the Peshah saying? He's saying, go back to the Mishnah. Ab is what's written in the Torah. That's what an Ab is. Things which are not written in the Torah are not going to be high. But there's ways of making it written in the Torah and make it chayav, even though it's not written. What are the methods of making it written in the Torah and make it chayav? What are the methods? What are the options? How? What can we use to make it written in the Torah and make it chayav? It's not written in the Torah. How can, what type of tool can we use to apply to it to make it written in the Torah and make it chayav? What do we say in the Mishnah? Kal v'chomer, or you can use, if the one in the Torah is chayav, then kal v'chomer, this is going to be chayav. That's ke'ilu, this one's also written. Also, you can use ma metzilu, it's exactly the same, so of course, why shouldn't it be chayav? And therefore, it's written in the Torah. Or can learn hekish, that says, yeah, it's hekish that even though it's written in the Torah, the hekish that makes it chayav, okay? There's another limit. There's mahasad. What's mahasad? Mahasad is also one of the limutim. Mahasad means it's comparable to one, partly, but it's missing one property. So therefore, maybe it's not chayav. Oh, the thing that it's missing is it's actually comparable to the other one, and the other one has it. So therefore, it should be chayav because of the other one. No, the other one's missing a property, and therefore you say, well, that thing that's missing is not missing in the first one. So let's talk it out, and therefore you're chayav because ma'asad. That's how ma'asad works. Ma'asad works. It's just like you compare it. Let's compare the stone to the saw. The saw is something you own. The stone is something you own. Saw your chayav. So I see from saw, everything that you own, you're going to pay. So stone, you own, you should pay. So we've got a question on that. Shah is worse, because you have Kavona and Hazik. You can't learn from Shah, has Kavona to damage. Stone is owned in part, but it's not Kavona and Hazik, so it's missing something. So maybe that makes a whole big difference. Yeah. So we say, no, it can't make a difference. Because I look at a bar, it says in the Torah, you're chayiv, even though it has no Kavona and Hazik. So therefore, this stone is like that bar. Because the bar is chayiv, the owner, even though there's no kavod and hazik, so the stone is also going to be chayiv. But it must be like the bar. So it's not a question. It's not like the bar. The bar is not owned, and a stone is owned. So therefore, maybe that makes a difference. Maybe only something you don't own, you're going to be chayiv on, and you create. Maybe something you own, you're not going to be chayiv. So you can't learn from a stone from the bar. But I said, look at the big picture. The star you own, and you still chayiv. So we see being ownership or not ownership doesn't make you not chayiv. We see star you own, you're chayiv. So what if bar you don't own, you're not chayiv? Owning doesn't make you potter. The star you own, you're also chayiv. And don't tell me star you only chayiv because of kavod and hazik. Look at bar. Bar doesn't have kavod and hazik, and you still chayiv. So obviously the factors of ownership and kavona is not a reason to make you not chayiv. Obviously, the common denominator of a shah and a bar is not because of ownership and not because of kavona. So therefore, if those are not factors, therefore obviously this stone is going to be chayiv because it has all the factors which the Torah requires. And the Torah doesn't require you to not own it. The Torah doesn't require you to have kavona. So obviously you're chayiv even if you're missing both of them. So that's why the stone is chayiv, because of a mahasad. Mahasad says that I look at all the halachas in the Torah that's written, I work out these are not factors to release you, so things which don't have that problem are going to be chayiv. So therefore a stone which you own is going to be chayiv. Definitely chayiv because of mahasad. Now, once it's chayiv, ki'ilu, the stone is written in the Torah, I can't have six or five of us now. I can't be a new of. Can't be a new of. There's only four of us in the Torah. This Mahasad is making up something which is a halfway house. Half of this, half of that, you're chayiv. So it's either written in the Torah, this stone. If this Torah is kilo written, that means they've got five of us. Because the stone is not like Shah, and it's not like Bar. On that, Rashi says, and the Gershon is explaining, and the Gershon says as well, yes, you're right. Once you're chayiv, once I know you're definitely chayiv because it's written in the Torah, I have to choose which one of the obvious it fits in. And Rav says, I am more comfortable of pushing it into the category of Shah because of you own it than the category of Bar. I've got to choose. Either Shah or Bar. Definitely chayiv because it's written. But it has to be one of these categories, Shah or Bar. Which one do I choose? I push it into the Shah one. I can't be bar because you own it. I push it into the Shah one. So even although it's not totally comparable to Shah, I push it into Shah. Because you only need total comparison, that's when you don't know if it's chayiv at all. You don't know if it's chayiv at all. And you've got no kalvachomers, you've got no hekeshes, you've got no kalvachomers, no hekeshes, you've got no mamatzinus. You don't know it's chayiv. You need total comparison to make it chayiv. But if you know it's chayiv, because the hekesh of Tavachoma Mamet Sinus, you know it's chayiv because it's written now. Now, once you know it's chayiv, you can choose which one it goes in, even if it's not totally comparable, partial comparison can push it into one of them. So that's what Rav does. I know it's chayiv because of Mamet Sinus. Which category I can put in, what it's more likely to be, more comparable to, is good enough to push it in. And he chooses Shah. You only need total comparison when you don't know it's chayiv at all. And there's no reason to make chayiv. You've got no carbophones. Then you need total comparison. If you know it's chayiv, you just need partial comparison. And that's what the chiddush of Rav is telling me. Partial comparison is normally not good, but it's only not good when you don't know it's chayiv. Once you know it's chayiv, because of a carbophoma, haggish, and on the scene, you know it's chayiv, then partial comparison is good enough to make it into one of the categories. Okay. See you. I'm Shalom. Yes. And also, when we do Chazara, I mean, Rasta Abishayim Tzatzim, when we do Chazara, I'll explain why Alts is also the second person of the show. I'm not going to explain it in the next year by Alts. Think about it. Read it. Thursday, Miss Jones.